The Lord be with you.
And
with your spirit. Read it from Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately, 'That is going to rain,' and so it does. When you notice that the wind is blowing from the south, you say that it is going to be hot, and so it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? For you to go with your opponent before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the constable, and the constable throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny." The Gospel of the Lord. If there's no obligatory memorial or feast in the liturgical cycle, the Church allows us to celebrate what is called a votive Mass. So if you come to Mass in St. Peter Chanel on Saturday, if there's no obligatory memorial, we're going to be usually celebrating the Mass in honor of Mary. Mary is our patron, oblate to the Virgin Mary. Wednesday we'll do it in honor of St. Joseph. He's also our patron. Not that we have to do it, but it just shows the richness of the liturgical cycle. Often on Friday we do the Sacred Heart, but I chose today to say a votive Mass in honor of God's mercy. And I think it's good for us to think, okay, Divine Mercy Sunday comes once a year, then like put mercy on the back burner. I don't agree with that. I think we should try to be merciful every day. Amen? Not just, 9 days from Good Friday up until Mercy Sunday, then we're cunning and ruthless and mean to other people. No, that shouldn't be the way it should be. We should try to be merciful always. So, ending this idea on mercy, there's a number in the Diary of St. Faustina, which I explain. I'm explaining the Divine Mercy every Friday night at 7:30. You're all welcome to come. Is that we should try to do an act of mercy every day. In one of three ways. It could be a word, you say something kind to someone, or it can be an action, some corporal work of mercy, or it could be a simple prayer. I commented on this, I think, on Monday, that I was experiencing some desolation one morning, and I went to McDonald's to get my free coffee. I get free coffee. And when I go there, almost everyone knows me, because I've been here for such a long time. And then there was a woman who I've known in the parish for many, many years, and she said one kind thing to me. And I was in consolation the whole morning. So she pulled me from desolation to consolation, and it lasted the whole morning. And she probably never dawned upon her the effect of that just one kind word as I was waiting for my coffee patiently. So I don't think we're aware of the power that our words have on other people, for good or for evil. There's another number in the Diary of St. Faustina, where she says, she prays that all people that leave her, after being with her, they'll leave a little bit more happy. So you say that every time someone is with you, maybe the person leaves a little bit more happy? Not always. But hopefully most of the time. Hopefully most of the time. I would disagree with Faustina on that in one way. If I'm talking to a person that's living in sin and is experiencing a false sense of happiness, if I talk to the person and the person after talking to me feels sad about how she's living her spiritual life, that's actually good. So on that I disagree with St. Faustina in the sense that if the person living in sin, you don't want to make the person feel better about him or herself by living in sin. And this is the first rule of discernment, is that we want to plant a thorn in the conscience of someone that's living away from God. You hear me? So our words have an impact on people, either for good or for bad. Let's pray that our words and our gestures would transmit the presence of God in our lives and move people closer to salvation. So I don't want to fight with St. Faustina. She's the canonized saint, I'm not. But I would put it this way. Every time I meet a person, after leaving the person is closer to salvation. Amen? That's principle and foundation. Now, whether or not the person feels good with herself or not, I think that that's secondary. But if I'm with that person and talking, I'm moving that person closer to eternal salvation, that's very important. And I think all of us should pray for that grace, that our presence will be a bridge by which they're arriving closer to their eternal destiny, which is heaven. Amen? Okay, the first reading of St. Paul, we all know what that means. Maybe you weren't paying attention to the first reading, but talk about great psychology. What Paul says is this: I know the good I should do. I know it. But I don't have the power to carry it out. Has that ever happened to you? You know you have to do some good, but you're just like, I'm just too weak. I know I should get up at 5 o'clock to do my holy hour. I know I shouldn't have that fourth chocolate chip cookie. I know I shouldn't be grabbing onto that second Big Mac. I know I should think before I speak. I know I should drive more carefully. I'm probably the worst in that, no? We know the good we should do, but we end up doing the exact opposite. There's a certain spiritual schizophrenia that we experience within us. That Jekyll and Hyde, huh? But I have the remedy. Are you listening? Are you? Okay. Okay, think about where you're weakest. And when you receive Holy Communion, ask the Lord to fortify you in that weak point. Amen? There you have it. There you have it. Because communion, we have the total Christ. We have His body, blood, soul, and divinity. So say, for example, you really struggle with being patient. You're not patient. You're not patient with God. You're not patient with others. You're not patient with yourself. That was the last blog article I wrote. Okay? The importance of patience. We all struggle with patience. Okay, you receive Holy Communion, and you receive Jesus who carried the cross patiently. He fell and He got up. He fell and He got up. He fell and He got up, and He didn't complain. We suffer from complainitis, right? You ought to write in your house, no complainitis today, okay? Let's praise and thank God rather than complain. Okay, that's the first reading. The psalm says this, Lord, teach me your statutes. Teach me wisdom and knowledge. Did you know that those are two of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Did you know that? Teach me wisdom and knowledge. And of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the first one in operation is fear of the Lord. But the most important gift is wisdom. And you who are experts in St. Thomas Aquinas, some of you are expert Thomists here, right? Says that wisdom perfects the theological virtue of love. And love is, of course, the greatest theological virtue. How would you define wisdom? Wisdom would be this. In Spanish, saborear las cosas de Dios. I like the way it sounds in Spanish. Saborear. Saborear las cosas de Dios. In English, to relish the things of God. You relish. Do your children like to go to Baskin Robbins? Ooh. They buy a double decker. Do they call it double decker or triple decker? They probably have another name. And you see what they have their favorite ice cream cone. Ah, they're relishing that ice cream cone. Well, we should be relishing the things of God more than you relish your double ice cream cone. So teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. The gospel is this. Jesus says, you know how to interpret the external signs. I think most of us have been getting up in the morning and asking, oh no, is it going to be 105 degrees today? And when I was walking from the rectory, I was coming here. Wow, it's kind of cool. Thanks be to God. No? So we have those who make the forecast, and they do a pretty good job at it. If people are able to forecast well the temperature, shouldn't we be able to look at what's happening in the world and see God's hand behind that? Hello? I don't know about you, I think it's a no-brainer. What happened in Florida? What happened in Houston? What happened in the Caribbean? What happened in Puerto Rico? What happened in Mexico? What God is saying, wake up, life is short. Amen? Wake up, life is short. It's a wake-up call. Some people say it's a chastisement. I wouldn't say that. But it definitely is a wake-up call. Is that we shouldn't be living simply for this moment. Life is very, very short. We know neither the day nor the hour that God is going to call us. Within the past week, we've had about 4 deaths in the parish of people. 2 days ago, a guy died in his bed. He was 30 years old, natural cause. The guy's he's half my age. Natural death. I was almost going to ask Dr. Valentini, can you take my pulse to see whether or not I'm okay? We don't know we're going to die, do we? We don't know. I did a funeral on Monday, a girl that was in a car accident and the car caught on fire, 22 years old. We don't know. So what God is saying through this is you've got to be prepared. Don't live for the flesh. Live for the Spirit. Amen? And then our Lord is saying, if you have a fight with someone, disagreement, try to make up. That's the second part of the gospel today. You have a fight with someone, make up. Learn how to say, I'm sorry. Tough words, huh? I am sorry. So never go to bed angry with each other. Make up. Reconcile. Now, the last verse is a verse we can use to prove the existence of purgatory. I say to you, you'll not be released until you have paid the last penny. Traditional apologists use this to speak about the reality of purgatory. Who goes to purgatory? Those who die in the state of grace, but with venial sin, or unexpiated mortal sin. When they say unexpiated, they've been forgiven, but God still wanted them to do more penance because of those mortal sins. But what burns in purgatory is a lack of love. Only those who are perfect in love will go to heaven right away. So let's turn to Mary. What is the greatest virtue of Mary, according to Vatican II, Lumen Gentium, Chapter 8? The greatest virtue of Mary is the Gospel this Sunday. Do you know what the Gospel this Sunday is? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. To love God with all your heart, mind, strength, will, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the gospel for Sunday. And if we're perfect in the double way of love, when we die, we don't have to go to purgatory. We go right to heaven. So let's pray for the grace every day to grow in love of God and to grow in love of neighbor. Amen.